message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a blessing and help to you as we look into the Word of God to try to learn some things about what God's doing. You know, if you get in line with what God's doing, then you'll be doing the will of God. If you find out what God's will is, what He's accomplishing, what His purposes are, and then you do that in your life, focus on that, and allow the Word of God to change your life and have an impact in your life by controlling your thinking and making you think like God thinks in unison with Him and in agreement with Him, it'll have the salutary effect in your life of producing God's will in the details of your life. One of the things in that regard, where we're studying in the book of Romans now, and for those of you who watch week after week our study together, you know that we've been traversing through rather casually, not very necessarily always in great depth of what's here, but we've been going through the book of Romans and looking at the Pauline design for the edification of the believer. And now as we come to the end of the book of Romans, what Paul is doing is he's putting on the pages of God's Word a living example through his life and his ministry of the application of the adult sonship walk of the believer. You and I are not to be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We are to be adults. We're to be able to stand. He says that as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you've been taught. There's absolutely no excuse for you and me as a believer to be tossed to and fro. We have the Word of God. We've been given the key to understanding the Word of God, rightly dividing it. We've been given the design for our edification, the proper form in which to intake the doctrine of grace and become oriented to grace. And as you do that, what happens is it begins to transform you. And our Bible Institute ministry, Grace School of the Bible, it's been my privilege now for many years, since 1983, in fact, to train men for the ministry. And, of course, we have lady students, too. And what our desire is to train people. I don't want to tell people what to do and where to go and what they ought to do. My desire is to perfect the saints, because as you perfect the saints, grow the saint to maturity spiritually. As you do that, as you grow in maturity, growth produces movement. And you, on the basis of an understanding, our students, on the basis of an understanding of God's Word and the doctrine and proper orientation to grace, the doctrine begins to work in them. And our school is in different factions. We have a resident school in Chicago, of course, that is the product of our ministry in the local assembly there. But we also have what we call Bible edification by extension. We have all of our school classes and curriculum available on videotape. And we have students all around America. In fact, we have graduates from foreign countries, and we have branches of our school in different places, in several foreign lands. But mainly we focus on training people for the ministry here in America. And as we do that, especially with the extension students out in the various places, I've noticed that they'll get through the first 2 years of the school quite successfully. But when they get to the third year, they begin to have problems getting finished. And it usually takes 2 years to get through the first 2 years and then another 2 years to get through the third year of the class. And sometimes I have to, you know, the administration has to kind of get behind some of the third-year students. The reason isn't that they're deleterious. The reason isn't that they're not doing their work. The reason isn't they aren't interested. The reason is they get real busy with ministry. Because what we do in the school, and our curriculum is unique. It's different from any Bible Institute you've ever heard of. In that we, number one, we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, so we don't seek to change it or correct it or to abuse it. We just seek to believe it and let it be our instructor and our final authority. Number two, we believe in rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul tells us that we're to rightly divide it, so we follow the Pauline design for right division, as we've shown you many times in our studies about time past, but now and the ages to come. And then third, we emphasize and we follow, since Paul tells us that the perfected saint does the work of the ministry, we follow that issue of the perfecting of the saints and doing it Paul's way. Since Paul says perfect the saints, you know, it seems logical to me to let Paul tell me how to do it. And he does that. And in our studies in a couple of weeks from now, as we're going through Romans, we'll see some of that those details. But what the design is that first you become oriented to grace. And there are four foundation principles of grace that you have to become oriented to. And they're laid out in the book of Romans. That's why Romans is the first one of Paul's epistles in your Bible. When you get to that fourth one, you've laid the foundation. So that fourth one, that fourth foundation is taking the doctrinal understanding that you have about your identity in Christ and who you are and what God's done for you through Christ and what God's doing today in the dispensation of grace, and then having that live through you. It's in chapter 12, Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, service in the book of Romans doesn't start till chapter 12. It's the fourth foundation principle. The application, he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not by assimilating a religious system. Not by having the Baptist or the Methodist or the Catholic or the Assembly of God Church formed in you, but by having Christ formed in you, having His mind. How? Through the doctrine. That's what Romans is for, is to get you oriented to grace. And the last section of Romans, chapter 12 to 16, deals with practical instructions about sonship walk, about walking and living like an adult in the family of God, in time, on planet Earth, for God's glory. In chapter 15, Paul describes, and we've been studying this, how he's planning for the future. And he describes how he makes decisions about what his ministry needs to do and what the Lord would have him to do next and where he should go and what he should do and all those kind of things. And at the very end of the chapter, he brings up a topic that fills his life, and that's the topic of prayer. And he asked them to pray for him as he had been praying for them. The book of Romans starts out in chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10, with Paul talking about his prayer for the Romans. It ends with his request of them to pray for him. My friend, our lives, just like Paul's life, just like his epistles, should be filled with prayer. Paul deals with it within the first 10 verses of Romans, and here at the end does it again. But as with many other topics in the Word of God, the topic of prayer is a topic that is very different. It's an issue that's very different today in the dispensation of grace than it was in time past under the prophetic program and Israel's program. And it's important that we understand that. Romans chapter 15, Paul says in verse 30, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you refreshed." Now, there are three requests that he asked them to pray for. Two of them never come to pass. One of them seems to come to pass, but not to any great impact. This passage is a great passage to consider the issue of how does God answer prayer. I've been in the ministry for a number of years, over three decades. I've had a public teaching ministry. I've pastored churches in the South and in the Midwest. I've preached from coast to coast across America and in other lands. I've done radio and television and literature ministry and all kind of different ministry. And I know something about what gets people's attention. I know that on this television program or on our radio program or in our tape ministry, or in our literature ministry, in our the things that we mail out, our Bible study magazine, the Grace Journal, whatever. I know that you can talk about two or three things and get instant attention and response. One of them is unhealed bodies. Does God really want you to be well? And if He does, why do you get sick? Now, that's a good question, because that's where the rubber hits the road. You know, you can talk. You can go down and have your jitterbug Jesus at church, or you can go light your candles and pray your prayers, and with the greatness of, and the serenity of solemnity and the formalism. But, brother, you either go home healed or you don't. Why don't you? It's like the fellow told me one time. He said, he went to the hospital and God marvelously healed a fellow that he visited so that he could die in peace. Now, you know, only someone blinded by religious fanaticism wouldn't see the humor and the contradiction in that. The other thing is, what about unanswered prayer? Have you ever prayed and asked God for something and it didn't come to pass? Why is that? What's the issue? And how is it that God will answer my prayers today? On what basis? Why should I expect Him to? What should I expect Him to do? Well, Paul asked the Romans to pray for him about some specific things. One, that he might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. But he wasn't. The unbelievers in Judea rose up against Paul's ministry and wound up having him placed into jail and into custody. You say, well, he was delivered, you know, in some sense and so forth, but it wasn't the deliverance he was talking about and asking about. It was something different. He prayed that the saints would receive his ministry, and they indeed did. They took the offering and they praised God and thanked God for that. And then he says, I want that I may come to you at Rome with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. When he was going to Rome, you say, well, he did get to Rome. Yeah, he got to Rome in shackles. He got to Rome as a prisoner. And the only reason they sent him to Rome was that he had to appeal to Caesar in order to get out of the jam that the unbelieving in Judea had him in with the government back there, with the charges, the false charges, the needless, senseless charges they were placing against him. Verse 24, he says, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. That never happened. That's what Paul wanted him to pray for. Pray for Paul so that when he comes by here on his way to Spain, we might have a good ministry and a prosperous ministry with him. But it never happened. He went to Rome and was put in a prison, in a dark, dank cell, held in chains, and finally beheaded by Nero's henchmen. It wasn't what you say. Well, he got some. You see, that's what people do. They say, well, he got some of it. Well, the fact is, the things that he requested didn't come to pass like they came to pass. So, how is it that God is going to answer our prayers? Well, it's important to understand that prayer and the issue of how to pray and how God, on what basis God's going to answer prayer, is a dispensationally affected issue. And prayer works differently in Paul's epistles and the dispensation of grace than it did in time past. And if you want to be liberated, the great fallacy in modern day prayer preaching and prayer practice is a failure or a refusal to rightly divide the word of truth, to recognize who we are today in Christ as members of the body of Christ, living under the administration of the grace of God, rather than being the nation Israel, living under the performance-based system of the law. Now, in time past, when men were living under the performance system of the law, prayer, and I'm going to divide the board up here and kind of put things on either side. When in time past, when men were living under a performance system, prayer worked on a performance system. Back in time past, when men worked under the law system, and that's the time past system. That isn't where we are today. But in time past, they lived under the law, and the law. It's a performance system. prayers are answered based on the performance of the prayer. The performance system was in evidence in the prayers and in the responses to prayer that God made under Israel's law program back here. And by the way, this program in time past is the program that God gave to and through the nation Israel. Now, Israel lived under the law, and they were blessed. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 11, so you understand this. Israel's life under the law was one of blessing for obedience and cursing for disobedience. And that's the way the law system works. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, if you will, verse number 26. Deuteronomy 11, 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. A curse if you obey not the commandments. In other words, under the law system, it's performance-based acceptance, PBA. It's a situation where if you perform, God blesses you. And if you don't perform, then you don't get a blessing. Under the law, back here, direct, supernatural intervention from God was available in response to man's actions. There could be direct, supernatural intervention based upon man's performance. God would intervene in the affairs of man on the basis of man's performance, and approaching God under the law system back here required performance. It required a righteous lifestyle, a life that performed. And when you had that, you could get God to intervene in your behalf, deliver, and bless. Proverbs chapter 15, for example. And these passages, you've heard these passages preached many times, I'm sure. Proverbs chapter 15, if you will, in one hand, and Psalm chapter 66. Proverbs 15 and Psalm 66. Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Bible says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous." Back here under the performance-based system, whose prayer did He hear? The righteous man's prayer. Based on the performance, on the lifestyle of the person, you got answers. Direct intervention from God and answer to prayer based on the performance of the individual. He's far from the wicked. Didn't hear what they had to say. That's why in Psalm 66, passage that folks love to quote when it comes to unanswered prayer, Psalm 66, verse 18, he says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart," I don't have a righteous lifestyle, "the Lord will not hear me." Now, folks, that's real clear. In order to get a favorable response from God in time past, your performance had to be that of a righteous person. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, and that's righteous in the lifestyle and the heart attitude of the person involved. And as that was done, there are many examples of God answering the prayers of righteous men in the Old Testament times. Now, we don't have time to go through all that, but many examples in the Old Testament of when a righteous man would pray, God would directly and supernaturally intervene in the affairs of that man's life in order to change circumstances and change things in order to bring about the requests that he made because his performance. Bless them that obey. Okay? Now, in contrast to that performance system is the system of grace. And in the grace system, which is where we are, that's the but now. This is where we are as members of the church, the body of Christ. The grace system is not a performance system. The grace system is a system that is, it's the free gift system. Salvation is a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life. Salvation is it's the free gift of His grace. Grace is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is given freely. I have a friend that has a ministry called Heaven is a Free Gift Ministries. That's putting waist high right across the plate where you can get it. In the grace system, we don't live under a performance system. We live under a system of pure grace, a system where God functions differently and where prayer functions differently than it did under the performance system. Folks, if this is the system you operate under, prayer is going to work one way based on your performance. If this is the system you operate under, prayer is going to work entirely different. Our blessings, come with me if you will to Ephesians chapter number 1. Our blessings and acceptance before God is not based on our performance. Our blessings and acceptance before God today are based upon the fact that we are in Christ Jesus. We are a part of the body of Christ. We have been identified with God's Son, and we have the same relationship with God the Father He has, and it is not on the basis of our performance, but on the basis of our identification with and our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our position in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1, if you will, our position in Christ gives us all of our blessings and all of our acceptance before God. Ephesians chapter 1, I realize you're looking at the top of my head a lot here today. I'm trying to look at these verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. We're complete in Christ, my friend, regardless of our performance, because God in His grace gives us all spiritual blessings in His Son. See? How shall he that freely delivered up his own Son not also with Him freely give us all things? If He freely gave you the Lord Jesus Christ and put you into oneness with Him, what is there that He would ever have for you better than that? Well, nothing. Now look at Ephesians chapter 3. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Because of our complete acceptance before God in Christ, because of our complete position in Christ, we have a completely unbroken acceptance before God. You and I have absolute unbroken acceptance and unbroken access to God. No barriers, nothing stopping you. Why? Because you're one with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 verse 18. For through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of His cross, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. There's the triune God working in your behalf. It's on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ that I can come into the presence of God. It's on the basis of God the Holy Spirit who has saved me, who has sealed me, and I now live in the encapsulized environment of God the Holy Ghost. It's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God that I have access to the Father through Him. Now, chapter 3, Ephesians 3, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. You see, we have our access is based on Christ and what He did, not on what we've done. Now, that's important when it comes to the issue of prayer. Because in addition, by the way, to having a complete and a total acceptance and access in Christ, God has also given us the Word of God, the written Word of God, to tell us what His will is. We have a perfect book to direct our lives. We don't have to run around in subjective contemplation about maybe what would God possibly want me to do. When I want to know what God wants me to do, I got it written down in a book. And He's given me the key to how to study that book and understand that book. And folks, the answers to the questions that you have about what's God's will for your life and how should you handle this and how can I do it, the answers to that are found in the Word of God. And in your life and in my life, our walk as believers today is not based on God's responding to our performance. Our walk as believers today is based upon our response to God's word to us about His grace. And it says that word of grace builds you up in an appreciation for who God has made you in His Son, that you begin to be able to walk as the adult that He's made you in His Son in prayer. In the age of grace, is the process by which we make God's Word the motivating force in our lives. The process whereby we take God's Word and unleash its power and potential in our life. You see, the basic issue in prayer is contemplating the details of your life and how to it's meditating over God's Word and how it applies to the details of your life. And it's that mental attitude of thinking through the details in light of who you are and what God says about things in the Word of God, and allowing God's Word, by faith, the Word of God, working in you that believe, as you practice the life of praying like a grace believer. God doesn't accept you on the basis of your performance. Our lives are based simply as a faith response to what He's accomplished for us. And your prayer life is designed to unleash the motivating power of the Word of God in your life today. Be a praying, a grace-praying believer. Thanks for listening today. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have go along today's study. The tape is entitled, How Does God Answer Prayer Today? It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 362. That's tape offer number 362. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area, where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His well-divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. I'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until next time for another Message of Grace.